From WWNO, this is Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. This and every week, we talk to people in Louisiana who've devoted their lives to music. We want to hear about their experiences and listen to what they're listening to, because that's where our music comes from. This week, a whole new conversation with Alan Toussaint, the New Orleans producer, arranger, and songwriter who's given entertainers around the world something to sing about.
Everything is about the person, and whatever musicians I put behind them is to put them in an atmosphere where they can be most creative and feel wonderful about themselves.
Alan Toussaint, the great collaborator, just ahead on Music Inside Out, after the news. This is Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. Alan Toussaint is extraordinarily well-connected. Nearly every song we'll hear this hour has been touched by his hand as a producer, arranger, featured performer, and or songwriter. Toussaint's collaborative resume reads like the best jukebox you'll ever hear. Irma Thomas, Dr. John, Earl King, any number of Nevilles, The Meters, Trombone Shorty, Galactic, Robert Palmer, Solomon Burke, LaBelle, Paul McCartney and Wings, Elvis Costello, and plenty of others.
Mother-in-law,
ruler of my heart.
Ride your pony, get on your pony.
Southern night.
Been a wrong time.
The man on the radio said the lovers had broken down.
Tonight the trouble takes you down.
When I think back on all the crap I learned in high school,
this city won't wash away. This city won't ever drown.
The day we met, Toussaint sat alone at his piano, where he seems to spend most of his time, despite a more than 50-year career smack dab in the middle of scores of artists. For Toussaint, collaborations are kind of like marriages that last for varying lengths of time. What are you looking for? Do you look for the person to match the song to match the person? How do you do it?
Song to match the person. And far as I'm concerned, it all starts from who they are. And of course, who they are is not necessarily one thing. Sometimes who they are is who they would like to be.
Yes.
And that's not so bad. And sometimes who they are is not who they really are, but who they think they are. But I always think that it's my, I should find the suit that brings out the best of their features. I would like to present something to them that highlights their spirit as well as the vocal itself, because they're delivering their spirit when they're singing. And I'd like to give them something that they can do believably. The song is totally secondary. Everything is about the person. And whatever musicians I put behind them and the atmosphere that I set up is to make them, to put them in an atmosphere where they can be most creative and feel wonderful about themselves and deliver that. And I would hope that they'd even be happy with it. That's what I, as a producer, that's my thought all the time.
It's true. And there's so many stories of artists with whom you've worked who, once they've received that attention from you, or from anyone, I mean, that's a very personalized attention. You know, someone who is writing a song with you in mind, with your voice in mind, your character, and all. And once they've received that attention, they're drunk on it. They can't wait to get back into the studio with you again.
Yeah, good.
So I'm thinking about Lee Dorsey, for instance. Lee Dorsey, for you, he had all the time in the world.
Yes. Oh, yes. We were a wonderful marriage. He totally trusted me.
Oh, well, I'm
sitting here la la waiting for my ya-ya. Oh, I'm sitting here la la waiting for my ya-ya. Oh, it may sound funny, but I don't believe she's coming. Oh.
Working in a coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine, about to slip down. Working in a coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine, about to slip down.
Get out my life, woman.
You don't love me no more.
Get out my life, woman.
You don't love me no more.
Lived on a permanent high just all the time. If he'd beat you, he'd meet you on that high and insist that you come and join him up there. he trusted me all the way, and for even when to sing, when not to, whatever moments or whatever I gave him to do. And there was no limit to what we could do together. And we did loads and loads of things. Had a great time.
I can't eat, I can't sleep since you walked out on me. Yeah. Holy cow, what you doing, child?
Holy cow, what you doing, child?
What you doing, what you doing, child?
Well, we spent a lot of time out of the studio. We raced Cadillacs together and drove motorcycles together. And we did lots of things. We hang out at the Dewdrop together.
Night before, hanging out, looking at each other, waiting for something to happen. Night before, hanging out, looking at each other.
Everything I do gonna be funky.
But when I think about everything I do gonna funky. Be funky, I think that that's Lee Dorsey talking, definitely. But I also hear you talking.
Yes.
You know, because it's almost like a statement of who you are. And I'm not a musician, so this is my way of looking at you. If it's an Alan Toussaint song, there's a wiggle, wiggle, waggle in it. There's something that's going to make you want to wiggle, wiggle again, and then you're going to waggle.
Okay. I'll take all that.
Now, there are musicologists, I believe, who might have better terms for this. But do you get, I mean, does that ring at all true to you in the sense of there's something that you do that inspires movement?
I don't know, but if it is... I'm glad it is. And I remember when we were doing Everything I Do Gonna Be Funky from now on, I was contemplating doing a lot of funky things on Lee Dorsey.
Mm-hmm.
So we sent him right there. And the engineer who we left his slate, because they slate the recording, the engineer says what song it's going to be. Time after time, take one. And the way this engineer said... He was in Georgia. He said, "Everything I do gonna be funky." I said, "Good heavens, we're on the right track."
Yeah, everything I do gonna be funky from now on.
Yeah,
everything I do gonna be funky from now on.
Never before have I felt so good. Just being natural me. Minor hang up and minor ties, but deep inside I'm free. So let your hair down and get down with it. Who's to say what's right or wrong? Everything I do gonna be funky from now on. Yeah,
everything.
Collaborating with outstanding female artists. Alan Toussaint will be back in just a minute. And everything he does, gonna be funky. Stay tuned. It's Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. LaBelle, of course, singing the original Lady Marmalade, a number one hit song produced by Alan Toussaint. That song helped convince people who'd never spoken a word of French that they knew the language perfectly. But lead singer Patti LaBelle is not the only Hey Sister, Go Sister, Soul Sister to be inspired by Alan Toussaint. Think about the Pointer Sisters, Irma Thomas, Marva Wright, Etta James, Madeline Peru, Phoebe Snow, Joan Osborne. They all recorded songs touched by Toussaint's hand. And then there's Bonnie Raitt, who made a success out of the Toussaint-inspired question, what is success?
Does a one decide that the methods he's using, they just won't jive? Truly believing and trying over and over again, living in hopes that someday.
There's something about her where she can take on songs that I find a lot of other artists, male or female, can't do. Like, for instance, she did a beautiful version of Guilty, you know, that Randy Newman song. And she did your song so well. What is it that she's got that other people find hard to get?
She's one of the cats. She just, for one thing, loved this music, and she loved the blues, the deepest blues you can find. You find her dabbling in it.
Under the gut bucket.
Yeah, just dig that. Oh, Bonnie Raitt. What's she doing there?
Now what? What?
I don't know. Can you tell me what?
What is success? Is it doing your own thing? Or to join the rest?
She just brings a good feeling to you. Some people brings a good feeling. Jimmy Buffett brings a good feeling to you.
Yep.
She brings a good feeling to you when you hear her voice.
How do you feel with her when you're on stage? Because you performed with her briefly at this year's Jazz Festival.
How do I feel with her on stage? I want to marry her. That's how I feel on stage with her. I want to say, let's get married and go on a honeymoon.
You got to stand behind about, 50,000 people who
That's
are
right.
watching. That's,
and I don't mind. I'll get in line.
Alan Toussaint, John Clary, John and Mike Finnegan. Man, that is a trio made in heaven. Come on up here and take a bow, boy.
Also worked beautifully with Cyndi Lauper. on her Memphis album.
Yes.
You did three selections with her. My favorite, of course, being Shattered Dreams. You did Shattered Dreams, Mother Earth, Early in the Morning.
Yes.
Okay, what's your favorite? Forget my favorite. What's your favorite?
Well, I like Shattered Dreams.
Yeah?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Shattered dreams of days gone by makes me want to sit right down and cry. All the plans I had and what it turned to, just shattered dreams.
She is a musician. She's not a just a this, a just a that. She's a hands-on person about every part of it, and she really knows what she's talking about, and she's innovative, and she cares enough to give all she's got for the audience.
When I first met you,
get up there and hoop like she hoops for as long as she can. She is the true diva. If you were going to put, if a little Martian was to come down and say, show me a diva, I'd point to her and then say, and there's some others maybe, but start there. Yes. She's wonderful.
She is wonderful. You know, I heard that she was waiting for a flight at an airport. They got horribly delayed. And a lot of people were angry, you know, who were going to take that flight. And she just turned around and led us a sing-along of Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Okay. Get down. Get down.
I mean, come on.
Yes.
You know?
I'm fine with that.
A person born to be in the spotlight.
That's great, great. That's, I'm glad I heard that story.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You did a collaboration in 2010 that I think is the 21st century version of Everything I Do Gonna Be Funky, which is Bacchus. This was a song you did with Galactic.
You know about that.
Oh my, do I know about Galactic. I'm telling you, this is funky.
Oh, yes.
You can help set the pace. Don't let your talent go to waste. No, 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 no. And you don't need politics. Handing you its bag of tricks. No, no. Baby, baby, baby.
Tell us about that recording.
I love that. I loved it dearly. That's a funky group, for one
thing. Yes, indeed.
And they're so innovative, and their basic track is just always right on. They represent us so very well. And I was so glad that they invited me in on that. So I took it from that basic track and put my, added my T-O-U-S-S-A-I-N-T in it. And I was so glad that I did, because I love that collaboration.
I hope you do more. I honestly do.
I hope so, too.
Yeah, because it is dynamite.
The thing that
Galactic does that is so wonderful, I think, is that they show that artists are timeless and that there is no funky place that you can go in this world where you cannot find Alan Toussaint. By Galactic, featuring Alan Toussaint. Still to come, learning to love a standard. Alan Toussaint grows up. Back in a minute. Stay tuned. It's Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. Hearing Alan Toussaint's rendition of Egyptian Fantasy, a song that Sidney Bechet made famous. Egyptian Fantasy opens a 2009 album called The Bright Mississippi, which is an extraordinary love letter from Toussaint to New Orleans and to jazz. Toussaint is on piano, of course, and Joe Henry, one of the most sought-after talents in the music business, produced. Henry has guts. As we all know, Alan Toussaint is a pretty good producer himself. That's why we're talking with him for a second hour. In terms of your album Bright Mississippi, which is a collaboration with some amazing musicians. Nicholas Payton is on this. Don Byron, I want to say. Is that Don Byron?
Yes, indeed.
On clarinet.
And sax some, but clarinet mostly.
Mm-hmm. And then you have Joshua Redman, who has not sounded better. It is a collaboration, but it is your vision. You know, other people's songs, but it's your vision that these fellas are working to realize. That's a very interesting situation because it's not a one-on-one collaboration. It's a collaboration with a lot of little giants and one big giant.
I don't know who that one big giant was.
Please, say fee-fi-fo-fum for me.
Thank you. But anyway, that was a wonderful album, and I still call them albums.
Me too.
Feels good. But, and all of those are gentle giants, I must say. And the idea for that project, of course, was Joe Henry to do such, because I'm normally thought of as someone who's doing other things all the time. But I'm very happy about that because it's such a smooth avenue to travel. Treasure chests of wonderful American songs, and these musicians, the ones you just mentioned, it's just the whole situation was impeccable.
Thank you.
Joe Henry, I must say, he was the one who chose those songs in particular. And I'm so glad he did, because a couple of them I had never heard before.
Like what?
Well, I had never heard West End Blues before.
I don't believe you.
Truly. Also, Old Southland, I hadn't heard that. Also, Singing the Blues, I hadn't heard that. And I never did like St. James Infirmary. Now I love it.
Well,
it's one of my favorite songs in life.
I mean, I would never have known that just listening to it, because I was just going to name that song. I don't suppose you mind playing a little bit of it for us?
I don't mind at all, because I love it these days.
So aside from the beauty of the melody, what turned you on that song, particularly on the lyrics?
The melodic line, the way it goes, it's a very beautiful melody, and the chord changes are wonderful. I didn't give it a chance before. But I think when I first heard it many years ago, even I think early on, maybe in the childhood days, and I heard went down in front and saw my baby lying there, I just didn't want to hear anymore, but I've grown up now.
May I ask you a little bit about your interest in classical music?
Yes. Dangerous question, but yes.
Well, here in the studio, there's a little bust of Beethoven, so I'm thinking that that this might be the direction in which you're going.
Oh, no, it's not. I like Beethoven, and I like all of the old greats. Bach, of course, the father of the Dominus Seventh and a whole lot of other stuff. Yes, indeed. And Handel with his arias. And I love all of the classics. However, I'm not a classical musician. I know that.
What do you think is the difference?
One who plays the classics with the proper intent and the proper rehearsals and the proper chops. Yes, but I love the classics dearly, so I flirt around with them. I run around with them. Well, when I first got started on the piano as a very young child, and I began to, well, I was hearing the radio mostly, and I start picking out little simple melodies that I heard on the radio. And everything I heard a piano playing on the radio, I thought I'd better get to work and learn that. So along with all of the hillbilly music I was hearing and all, when I heard all of that, I had to learn that. And I had to learn the boogie woogie. I certainly had to learn some polkas and some waltz. I remember my mother bought an Emerson record player, and during those days they gave you two albums to lanyap, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was a classical album, and one was a big band album with Benny Goodman and people like that, Artie Shaw and all of them. And this classical album had Grieg's Piano Concerto and a lot of things like that. Get to work. So I went behind the classics, and though we come from such a humble neighborhood back in Greytown and poor as Job's turkey, my mother thought she was pretty ritzy. So on Sundays I would hear a lot of classical music off. She'd play the radio and I'd hear these operas and classical symphonies all day long. And I just thought that was wonderful, and this is godliness. This must be right next door to God. And I'd have to wait till the next time I heard him on the radio to learn a little bit more of it and all. But I fell in love with the classics. It just seemed so, if you could play that, you're really in. Our old piano, the upright, was a half step flat. So when I learned Grieg's Piano Concerto, I learned it in B flat minor.
Oh.
It didn't dawn on me that it's Grieg's Piano Concerto in A minor. But my piano was half step flat, so I tried to mimic with the record, so you'd have to play a half step above. So I learned it as much as I could in that key.
This is Music Inside Out. We're talking with Alan Toussaint, but we're listening to the Gothenburg Symphony Orchestra, and the pianist is Lilia Zilberstein. I'm going to ask you just a couple personal questions. And if you don't want to answer, it's up, you know, perfectly fine. One being, I would like to ask you about your feet. You are the only person I know of who wears sandals almost every day.
Oh, yeah, for over 40 years, for longer than that, yeah.
How did you make it in the military where you were not wearing sandals? Because you were drafted, right, in the
60s? Yeah, 63 to 65. I wore the boots when I had to. And it was not easy because I didn't choose the sandals. They really chose me. If I would wear socks and shoes, like normal color socks and shoes, if I'd wear them for today, tonight, my foot would have little blisters on them. And if I wore them for a couple of days, it would be blisters on too many blisters. And that's a yucky feeling.
Yes.
So that's why the sandals, they became what they are. And I wear them with socks because I guess it's nicer, but I wear them without socks as well. But I usually put on socks for other people.
It's an eccentricity that is oftentimes associated with genius. Not sandals, but the fact that there's like this one thing about you that is consistent, that you do in all company, and it works for you. And then also, I had heard, and I don't know if this is true, but I had heard that you're a trampolinist.
Oh, yeah, I love the trampoline. And as a child, I was an acrobat. I used to love flipping and handstanding, walking on a hand. I just thought that was extraordinary. For one thing, everyone could do it. Everyone was playing ball, but only a couple of us was doing this. So I thought it was kind of special, but it was always a wonderful feeling to be in the air for a moment.
That's what I wanted to ask you about.
Yeah, and on a trampoline, you're pretty high out of the air. You're not touching planet Earth, or you're not gone for good either. I dearly love the trampoline. Dearly, dearly love the feeling of those Bahrainis and a double back somersault and a three-quarter forward and hit just right and get the proper bounce back, because it's a series of events. It's not just a thing. It's how you hit in, whether you're going to come up properly and all. And after a while, you get a feel for it like anything else, and you get your roll on. Yes.
You could be describing the creative process. I mean, take out the trampoline, and you're describing the creative process.
Okay. Thank you.
Isn't that something? The fact that idea that you're creating, that you're the momentum that it takes to lift.
Mm-hmm.
People and yourself above.
Yeah.
And to suspend and do something beautiful and graceful in the air.
Yeah. You find out the trampoline, your head is the heaviest thing on your body. For if anything goes wrong, it's usually because of what your head did. And when things go right, it's usually because of what your head did. That's just a little tidbit. That's neither here nor there.
Alan Toussaint spoke with us from his home in New Orleans. If you'd like to hear our first hour with him, please go to WWNO.org. And in the search engine, type in Toussaint. And this is Music Inside Out from WWNO. Each week, we feature the people of Louisiana who've devoted their lives to making the music we call our own. Their experiences and influences are where our music comes from. Our show is produced by Lynette Johnson, Jason Rhine, and Sean, everything he do gonna be funky, Collins. Jason Saul keeps the website so nice. Ron Curtis is WWNO's operations director. Ron Biava is the station's marketing and development manager. And the general manager of WWNO is Paul Mawson. I'm Gwen Tompkins, and this is Music Inside Out. It's carnival time all over the carnival-loving world. So this week, the last word goes to some of the performers who make this time of year beautiful, meaningful, and fun. We're beginning with the man of the hour, of course, Alan Toussaint. But for the rest of the playlist, go to WWNO.org or find us on Facebook at Music Inside Out. Do what you wanna. But we're going to start with Whirl Away.
bubbly beep bop bop. Bubbly beep bop bubbly beep. Make way for the reaper, y'all. Yeah.
Make way for the reaper.
Yeah, Bill!
Make way for the reaper. Make way for the reaper.
Back up, everybody back up. Give us a rough, give us a rough. Back up, man, back up a little bit.
Here's a song we did that was all about one of the big events of the year in my hometown, the Zulu Parade in Mardi Gras week. We dedicated this tune to the man that was elected king of the parade that year. But it wasn't until 1949, 23 years after I made this record, that they elected Satchmo to be the king of the Zulus.
In a square, in a quadrant, in the street, in the lane, in the road. Turn to the left, on the right hand, you see there is my true love's abode. I go there according and cooing to my love like a dove, and swearing on my bended knee, if ever I cease to love, may sheep heads grow on apple trees, if ever I cease to love.